you join me in going to the Lord? Father, we praise your great name. Lord, we don't deserve to get together and worship you, Lord, and yet you have given us the gift of faith that allows us to do so. Father, I pray that tonight we would rest in the truth of the coming of your Son, first in the form of a baby and then in a time to come. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, I pray that we would trust in God with us even tonight to change us, to transform us, to make us new even in this space. May none of us leave this place the same as when we walked in. Father, I ask that you would be glorified tonight. Help us all, help the musicians and the tech team and Dave, help us get out of the way that we might shine with the light of Christ. God, be glorified tonight. Be high and lifted up. And may we all sing with our hearts and our voices and our minds. Joy, joy, joy to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everyone. Nah, we can do better than that. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, are you guys ready to worship? Yes, before we go to worship, let's turn to our neighbors really quick and let's say Merry Christmas, shall we? Yeah.
Repeat the sound of joy. Repeat
Praise to the Lord. Amen. Yeah.
Sailing on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go sailing on the mountain, then Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lonely manger, a humble Christ was born, and God sent us that blesses Christmas song.
Let's sing it. Go.
Go sailing on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go sailing on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watch over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven there shone a holy light. I said, go sailing on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go sailing on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. Go sailing on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go sailing on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. Christ is born.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for these beautiful nights where we come together to celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of his life, for the hope he brings, for the peace that only he can give. As we leave this place, may the joy of Christ's birth fill our hearts and shine through in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
From John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Mighty God is the name of this child. The child in the manger is none other than God himself. Nothing greater can be said. God became a child. In the Jesus child of Mary lives the Almighty God. Now wait a minute. Stand still before this statement. God became a child. Here he is, poor like us, miserable and helpless like us, a person of flesh and blood like us, our brother. And yet he is God. He is might. Where is his divinity? Where is the might of this child in the divine love in which he became like us? His poverty in the manger is his might. In the might of love, he overcomes the chasm between God and humankind. He overcomes sin in death, he forgives sin and awakens from the dead. Kneel down before this miserable manger, before this child of poor people, and repeat in faith the stammering words of the prophet, "Mighty God, and he will be our God and your might."
The white candle on our wreath represents the arrival of Christ and his presence with us.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Let us pray.
Good job,
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the best gift any of us will have ever and will ever receive, your Son. Help us to soak in your word daily so that we may continue to grow in our faith and our love for you. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Jesus, you deserve the praise.
Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Worthy is your name, Jesus, and how true that is. God, as we have gathered here together to reflect upon the meaning of Christmas, to enjoy singing the songs of the season, to focus in on the reason why we have this celebration, God, I'm grateful that your presence is here. That we're grateful that you continue to draw people to yourself even yet today and even now. And God, as we turn briefly to your word, Lord, we ask, Father, that you be glorified. God, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts of thankfulness, God. Give us minds who are resting in assurance of who you are, why that matters in our place in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello, everyone. Glad to see you, both friends who are new and friends we've known for a very, very long time. It's an honor to be with you this afternoon, evening. And you could be anywhere right now. And you've chosen to take time from this day and these 24 hours where we celebrate typically with family and friends to say, I'm going to gather together in a church and I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise and I'm going to reflect. And so, hey, it's just really an honor to be with you. My name's Dave Spooner, by the way. I am the lead pastor here. I have the honor of serving along with many men and women in this congregation, and it's a great joy again to be with you. Well, during this season, we as a congregation have been focusing in on the opening passage in Matthew. And just a couple of days ago, we read this long genealogy, focusing in on who God intentionally connects to his family and his story. And those words we typically skip over to get to the good stuff, but there's good stuff in those words for sure. And so, just briefly, I'm going to turn then to the next passage. So this is Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 18. And this is the passage where we see Jesus coming into the world, the promised one, the Messiah. And I want to pull out just 3 points from it that I think are abundantly clear that Matthew, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings forward for us to focus on. And so we're going to see that Jesus indeed is God. We're also going to see what he came to do, why that is vitally important for us. And we're going to look at what the word Emmanuel, or God with us, what that means for us today. So the words are going to be here, or the passages are going to be here on the screens. That's probably going to be the best way that you can see them because it's a little dark. And then after this, of course, we're going to end with silent light, with candlelight, and one of my favorite moments of the whole year. So this is the first thing we recognize in this passage. Number one, that Jesus is God. Again, this is Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So much in these verses. So this, of course, is the account of how Jesus was born. And this was different than anything else, if you've been reading Matthew, anything else that had been written thus far. Again, the genealogy said this guy was the father of that guy who was the father of that guy, and down and down and down and down and down. And then we get to this point, and it's a full stop. And there's an opening and an explanation to talk about Jesus and how he came to be on this planet. Matthew, and again through the Holy Spirit, wanted to make sure that we understood that this child was no ordinary child, and this birth was no ordinary birth. This was completely different than anything that had yet happened on this earth. Now, as the story goes, Joseph and Mary were engaged. And at that time, if you were engaged, you were considered to be each other's spouse, even before they were officially married. Now, during this engagement period, Mary was found to be pregnant. And this happened without Joseph and Mary being physically intimate. So Matthew states, again, and this is an interesting way to put this, but the right way, of course, he states that she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And he states that explicitly so we would understand what had happened there. Now, he goes on, of course, and says, when Joseph found out Mary was pregnant, he probably freaked out a little bit, right? If I was Joseph, she told me this story, I'd be like, what? Say that one more time, right? It's really curious to me, by the way, that an angel explained this to Mary before it occurred, so she understood what was happening. But the same angel didn't speak to Joseph, but until after he found out one way or another that this occurred. Why did that happen? Well, I believe it happened so that we could understand the point from what Matthew records, from what the angel declared, and how Joseph responded. He responded in shock, knowing that he was not the father of this child. And he put two things together. Well, okay, nice story, Mary, but I don't think so. And so he considered this, and he was a God-fearing man, and he was afraid to marry an unfaithful spouse. Now, he could have brought this out to the open, and during that time, she could have been in serious trouble or even killed for what she did. So he decided, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to break it off and go on. Now, when Joseph had made that decision, that is the time that an angel showed up to him and said, Joseph, you remember what Mary told you? It's all true. Right? Joseph believed, as this angel Gabriel God's messenger communicated to him the impossible. That this one, this person, Mary, his spouse, now was chosen by God to be the womb, to provide the DNA for the Messiah. Now, I had to look at this, and you think about it, well, wait a second. If you've read the Bible and you're familiar with Genesis and how God created the first human beings, Adam and Eve, he took dirt from the ground, and he formed it and fashioned it into a man, and he breathed on this creation, and it came to life. And then from Adam, he put him to sleep and took a rib from his side and formed and fashioned, as Genesis states, his spouse, Eve. This was how the first couple was created. Why didn't God just do that again, right? To signify this is something different. He did it this way, by the way, because of his promise. If you read Matthew again, he promised Abraham, Abraham, from your descendant will come the Messiah. And then later on, as time went on, he made the same promise to Abraham's descendant, King David, and said, David, from your line, the Messiah will arrive. And then later on, God spoke to a prophet named Isaiah and told him that a virgin will give birth. And this baby is God with us, Emmanuel. So these were promises, and these were prophecies, and these were signs that the Messiah will come to flesh, will be living among us. And so the Messiah had to be born of this line, the same but yet different. So when this son was born of this virgin, they would know that that indeed is the Son of God. It was set up this way and explained in this manner so that those who are reading, which includes even us, would recognize that Jesus' birth is different than any other birth ever before and ever since. That this is the only begotten Son. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Think about that. The creator of everything, who spoke into existence all there is, now became a part of his creation. It's mind-blowing. And yet here he is, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, the King, born just like he was promised and prophesied. We have to think about this. We have to consider who this is, Jesus, what is declared about him. And we have to believe or disbelieve, is this true? Because it matters. If this indeed is Emmanuel, God with us, that means something. Now, this angel continued to have this conversation with Joseph. And not only did he confirm what Mary said, not only did he say, yes, indeed, Joseph, the Holy Spirit is the one who breathed life into this body, and this son is of me, the second Adam, like us but different than us, having flesh and blood but not having a sin nature, even though that he could be tempted just like one of us, This is why he came. Jesus came to save. This is Matthew 1:21 as we continue to read. The angel then declared to Joseph, she, Mary, will give birth to a son. And you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is the mission of Jesus, to save his people from their sins. And this is good news, right? The good news is that he has people. His people. And his people will be saved from their sins. Now, for us to understand this, we have to answer some questions. Right? What is sin? And what are we being saved from? And how will Jesus accomplish that feat? Now, what sin is a trespass, okay, against God, that is going out of bounds or disobeying his good and loving command. Now, unfortunately, our forebears in Scripture, Adam and Eve, had a choice to be put in a perfect garden, in a perfect place, with a perfect relationship to a perfect God. And they could either trust their Creator and follow him and love him, or they can question his word and go beyond or go behind what God commanded. And we, as representative in them, chose our own way. And there was a warning in that God gave to us collectively, saying, in the day that you eat, go beyond what I've told you to do by going to this reserved tree. It's the day that you will die. That is, bring death and a curse into the world. And indeed, that came in, this separation. And God being completely loving needed to uphold his complete justice. How you like that, right? And so we read the Bible, this relationship of people with their Creator and their Creator with the people, and there was separation, even though God wanted to interact with his creation. And even from the beginning, God covered us with an animal skin, which represented that something had to die in order for us to be covered. This then pointed to Jesus. What is sin? It's a trespass against God's character, God's love. So then what are we being saved from? We're being saved from both the penalty and the power of our sin or our trespass, right? This is what we're being saved from. We're not being saved from ourselves. We're not being saved from the devil. We're being saved from God's right punishment on our trespass. This is what we're being saved from. So Jesus came to save his people from their sin. So how could he do this? How could he accomplish this feat? Number one, by coming like us, becoming one of us. Being tempted in every way, and yet, Scripture says, without sin. And because of God's great love, which is seen in his justice, Jesus then took our place. Right? It's like we are standing in front of a court room, and a judge is there, and the record of our life is being unveiled. And in it, there's certainly some good things, but unfortunately, we have red ink on our ledger, right? We have trespassed, be it of commission, things we've done, or omission, the good that we did not do. We are guilty as charged. And so the sentence is death. And then, right at the perfect moment, in steps a substitute. It's called, by the way, atonement. That someone volunteers to take the punishment for our trespass. Now, there's only one person who's qualified to do that. That has to be a person that isn't guilty of their own sin, because they would be then condemned for that. And Jesus, the only one who did not commit sin, stepped in to take the punishment that was due us. And so this is why we see on the cross and what took place, that punishment that he endured, the cup of the wrath of God that was due us, he drank it for us. So that if we believed in him, said, I trust in you for my salvation to take my place, that God's then punishment becomes on him and his righteousness becomes ours, and his grace is extended to us. That's what Jesus ultimately came to do, to save his people from their sin. This is the story of salvation. This is the story of Christmas. We have more in a manger than you will ever have under every tree that ever existed. Forgiveness, eternal life, peace with God, and there will be a day in which he will make all things new. This world, as we know, is fallen. These bodies are broken, but God promises to make them new. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is, lastly, God with us. Matthew goes on to insert this into this telling of the story of Christ. Verse 22, saying, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. This is the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean for us now that God is with us? There's a lot of things we can list. I'm just going to list a few, right? It means that we can know God, that we can connect with God. We can look to Jesus to understand God, to understand how he thinks, to understand what he does, to know what he teaches us. If you want to know the creator of all things, look to Jesus, right? Who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who is the Alpha and the Omega, who is the beginning and the end, who all things hold together, all things were created in and for and with him. Jesus. If you want to understand your Creator, know Christ. Look to Christ. Understand Christ. We can be in right relationship with God because of Jesus. This is what God's with us means for us. This means we have companionship. He is with us in all things. He guides us, he helps us, and he ensures to be with us forever. One of the most beloved psalms of all time, of course, is Psalm 23, right? We know this. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. Right? You know it, right? Leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Right? He walks with us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Right? For he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And we will be in the house of the Lord forever. In that psalm, it describes the totality of our life. From times in which we have enemies to times in which we need to lay down and times in which we have feasting and times in which we need correction and strength to dwell with God's house. You and I are never alone. That is good news. This good shepherd walks with us because he is with us. You can turn and talk to him at any point. His Holy Spirit dwells among us and dwells in us, and his promise assures us that he is with us, and nothing and no one can take us from his hand. This also gives us comfort. Comfort from our fears in the present, and comfort in the day that we depart for the next world. Right? I've been by the bedside of many, many, many people who have taken their last breath here, and so to speak, have taken their first breath in the presence of God. Right? There's nothing like the promises of Christ, not just during our lifetime, but especially at that moment in which you have no more power, you have no more, quote-unquote, life. Is it true that Christ will meet us? The answer is yes. Why? Because he promised to do so. And you can trust a lot of people in this world, but if you're going to trust anyone, I would encourage you to trust Christ. I say that because of how he lived, what he said, how he died, that he rose again, what is recorded. Trust him. God with us means that we can connect with God. God with us means we have companionship in this life. God with us means we have comfort both here and now and in the future. This is good news. Emmanuel, God with us. And God is with us even to this very moment. He's not unreachable. Scripture says all we have to do is reach out for him, and he will answer us. This is good news. This is the Christmas story. Not just a child in a manger, but the King of Kings of all eternity. The Savior of the world. This is Emmanuel, God with us. So, Father, we do thank you for this great, miraculous, promised Son, Emmanuel. God, I thank you that your Spirit is even yet with us now, today, and your invitation and your promise is indeed extended even to us. Jesus, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your glory. We praise you for who you are. And God, we ask that your Spirit would continue to call us and connect us and to comfort us, God. For those who know you, Father, that we can rejoice in you. For those who don't or just are on the periphery, God, I ask that you would help them to take a step in and closer and follow and commit to this one called Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. God, we thank you for your grace and your glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so our shepherds are here, are ready. These are men who lead us and watch over us in many ways. And if you have a candle, go ahead and get it ready, because this is what's going to happen. I'm going to light their candles, and then they're going to come to where you are. And yes, you see what's happening here? The lighted candle is here, and you bring your candle to it, else you're going to get wax all over yourself. So, see, look at that. Good job, Rick. Great. Thank you. Timmy. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Okay. So the worship team is going to come back up, and the lights are going to be dimmed. And there they go. And we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night together. And this song has this lyric: Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. John records that Jesus is the light of the world. And those in darkness have seen a great light. And so as we lit our candles from the Christ candle as a symbol of the light coming into the world, being shown or shining in our light, we then have the privilege of hosting and carrying that light within us to shine in the various places that we go. And so we're going to sing this song and let the words and the music just kind of soak into you. And we'll reflect upon that. And then at the end of that, I'm going to come up and give us a short benediction, and then we'll be free to go. But remember this moment, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that light has been extended to us if we receive it, and then we then take it going forward. So let's go ahead and sing this together. You are a beautiful picture, I'll tell you that. Powerful representation of God's light and love being extended to us. So may the light of Christ, the Son of God, and love's pure light shine in your hearts this Christmas and always. And as you go, remember that Jesus is God, the one who became flesh to dwell among us. He came to save us from our sins and to offer us life eternal through his love and grace. Take comfort in knowing that God is with you, your ever-present companion in all things. May his peace guard your hearts, his spirit guide your steps, and his joy fill your days. Go in the peace of Christ, and may his love radiate through you to the world. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Go in the peace and grace of Christ.